Pray for Wendy. Father, thank you for Wendy offering herself to serve you. And we pray that as she speaks to us this morning, you will speak through her to our hearts, that what she says will make a difference to our lives, and that you will encourage her as she continues to train and prepare for future preaching ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm a little bit taller, so we'll just adjust. Let us pray. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you now and forever. Amen. So thank you for the lovely welcome this morning. If you've ever been to a nativity play, which I bet you might have done, you know all about the three kings. In our popular culture, they travel across a desert, following the star to where baby Jesus was born, in the manger. The nativity story has everybody arriving all at once. The shepherds, the kings, the angel Gabriel, with or without wings, even a lobster in some nativities. Now, as you know, they bring three gifts. Gold to acknowledge his kingship. Frankincense, because he's the high priest of all in the order of Melchizedek, who is the only other priest and king in the Bible. Frankincense can even heal arthritis, I hear. Now, myrrh symbolises his death and sacrifice to save us all from our sins. Myrrh was used in embalming, a gift foretelling his death, the price paid so we can spend eternity with Jesus. Our culture has absorbed all of the medieval notions that portrayed the Magi as kings. The medieval mystery plays were a way of explaining the story to people who couldn't read and who didn't have a Bible. And even if they had a Bible, it would have been written in Latin. Just like the school nativity plays that you might have seen children in, which explain the birth of Jesus to people who can't read the Bible. Now, as a teenager, I was in the story. I was cast as first king. I was very excited. I had to carry a gift of gold without dropping it all the way up the aisle in the church in the pitch dark. Now, I was first king, so I had junior king and junior king next to me. We all had our black cloaks on, rather the little choir robes. We had a crown on, and mine had stars on. And the lady who made the props made my gold so light, I almost dropped it because it was so light. Now, in here, I have a gift for you at the end of church, so don't let me forget that. In one church that we went to, when we came up the aisle, we were following a squeaky star across a wire and it got stuck. So we had an emergency stop and our 90-year-old stunt manager went up the ladder to fix it. Everybody's got a gift. Now you'll see in the image on the screen above, the kings are three, because they're plural in Matthew's gospel. Now, our culture has assigned a gift to each of them. You don't want to be the king who arrives without a gift. But there might have been more gifts, and there might have been two or more magi. We don't know the number. I bet you can't remember all the presents you got at Christmas. Now, it's unlikely they came by way of the Sahara Desert. It's doubtful that Scandinavian Christmas trees were lining the route, or that Jesus was born in a wooden house in what looks like the middle of nowhere. I think we know he was born in Bethlehem in a stable. Culture translates the story of Matthew, and we can get confused as to the message that's in the Bible. By the 3rd century, the Magi were kings. By the 6th century, they've got names in church tradition. Balthazar is the king of Arabia, Melchior, a king of Persia, the other one, Gaspar, the king of India. The real Magi were a hereditary priesthood of the Medes and Persians, credited with profound and extraordinary religious knowledge. Darius the Great, in the book of Daniel, established them in Persia. Daniel, him of the lion's den. The Magi acted a bit like a basic civil service. 500 years later, it's these Magi who have the knowledge left by the angel Gabriel, who spoke to Daniel about a Messiah. This is the angel Gabriel who also appeared to Mary and Joseph. Ah, the links are coming together. God's messenger Gabriel tells Daniel the Israelites will get to leave exile and go home to Judah. And the order will be given for the city of Jerusalem and the temple to be rebuilt. Gabriel tells Daniel exactly when the Messiah will declare himself to Israel. Gabriel tells Daniel it will be after so many years from this date to rebuild the temple. The Messiah is then revealed to Israel when Jesus comes on the donkey on Palm Sunday to Jerusalem, exactly when Gabriel said it would. Daniel passes on such knowledge after being appointed head of the Magi. See, the Old Testament is worth a read. The Magi, armed with this knowledge from Daniel and Gabriel, guided by a star, head into Israel and start asking questions. Now, I think the star was not an astrological chart or an astronomical event, but a moving, guiding light, perhaps the same that appeared to Moses or Paul. The Magi, when they get there, ask insulting questions to King Herod. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? So not you who declared yourself king and had to fight your way to Jerusalem by laying siege to it for 3 years. Forget the three kings and their three camels. When the Magi go visiting, it's almost certainly more than three of them and likely to have a full military escort. Matthew tells us, when King Herod heard this, he trembled, and all Jerusalem trembled with him. King Herod, backed by the might of the Roman army, would not have been afraid of three men on camels. But he would have been fearful of a border incursion of Persians with an unpopular and Asian king right next door, who might want to start a new dynasty with a new contender. But as we know, the Magi don't find a man. They find a baby, perhaps a toddler. They find the Son of God and give him three gifts to worship and honour him. What are you going to give to Jesus? Instead of making New Year's resolutions, which are probably quickly forgotten, what will you give to Jesus? Will you get outside your comfort zone? If you have the gift of friends, will you invite one to church? Will you and family what you did this weekend? Not just that you went to church, but why? Will you start giving your money to the church for the work of the kingdom? perhaps you might speak to someone about your faith? Will you share and learn with others in a cluster? They will welcome you as you are, love you, and respect your gifts. Now, as we know, January is also the month for debt and sickness, for those not in debt to get into debt, and those who are in debt to sink and feel themselves sinking further. Reality sets in of the food we ate, the drinks we drank, the money we spent at Christmas. The decorations come down, and we might feel a bit down with it. We all might feel a bit broken, a bit tired after the busyness of Christmas. But there is a promise in that stable, more significant than anything on earth, waiting to be shared with you and your friends and family. The Magi shatter the fairy story of Christmas. They predict Jesus' life with their gifts will be one of difficulty and death with the gift of myrrh. Jesus is honoured with the gift of frankincense as a priestly gift to our high priest, the adopted son of a carpenter. With gold for our King of Kings, a baby born in the stable, born into poverty. Follow him and you are promised gifts. Gifts of love, of joy, of peace, of forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Epiphany also means appearance or revelation, when the true reality of Jesus as our King and High Priest is revealed to us as the Son of God. Let the reality of the hope of Jesus bring you comfort and joy this year. As we worship Jesus today with our gifts, let us honour him as the Magi did with their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have any expensive gifts to give. But we can give ourselves and the things that we have and the people that we know. And don't forget the small gift at the end. Now, the journey of the Magi was long and arduous. Mine has been long and winding to get here. Your journey is unique to you. Sometimes I feel like I'm the one directing my journey. Sometimes I follow the Bible a bit like a sat-nav. One friend told me she wanted to drive like a Christian, but she didn't quite yet. Sometimes our life is like a car journey. And sometimes in my life, I've been the one in the car driving, sometimes following Jesus' directions. Imagine Jesus in the car with you, if you drive, the whole way in your life. And how about this? How about imagine letting Jesus do the driving in your life? Imagine not telling him the way, but waiting for him to reveal it to you. Imagine sitting in the back seat instead of the driving seat and enjoying that journey with him. As Christians, we know the destination. That's being with Jesus for eternity, so why not enjoy the journey together? Getting to know his way, following his star, and enjoying the gift of God's forgiveness to us all. And if you get stuck following the star like we did halfway up the aisle with our gifts, ask for help. It's here in this church, in these clusters. Jesus is our star to follow this new year. Amen.